download review. We did the preview. We've now, a week, 2 weeks ago today, we're back from download. I don't know how any of you guys felt after that, but it took me about a week to recover after download. I was a shell of a man. How was everyone else?
Wasn't too bad. I mean, just the week before download, I had a brand new bathroom put in with a nice new shower. So as soon as I got home, straight in, that was lovely.
Manny, how are you?
That's decadent, Fletch, getting a bathroom in just for download festival. I had a serious case of the blues on coming back, which just happens after a great weekend of fun and laughter. And having not been there for years, I think it was extra. It hit me extra. And the weather as well, it's worth saying. We're not always blessed with decent weather at Download, but it was glorious that weekend.
Yeah, whoever prayed to the Lord Almighty to get good weather for Download, nice work, because it was absolutely stunning, wasn't it? There was a bit of wind, but I think that actually saved a lot, because if there was no wind, I think there'd have been a lot of casualties over that weekend. Tony, did you enjoy yourself, mate?
Yes, yeah. Obviously, I only had one day, so I wasn't quite as broken as everyone else. But I really enjoyed it, and I wish I could have been there the whole weekend, to be honest, because I didn't really want to go home.
I've never done a day at a festival, because I think I'd be like you, just want to stay for the rest of it.
Yeah, it's the first time I've ever done one day, and I was like, should we just get a ticket and just stay and come back tomorrow? But to be fair, on a Sunday, there wasn't a great deal I was too bothered about, so we decided against it, but it was more just the atmosphere and being around everyone, and it's been greatly missed the last few years, hasn't it?
100%. We should probably point out as well, before we get into our review, that the four of us didn't go. There was no set assignment to say, right, you go see this band, you go see this band. I was very much on the premise myself that I was having a weekend away from the podcast, and I was just going to go and see bands that I wanted to see, and wasn't going to focus on trying to run to this stage and that stage. And I think there will be some crossover in bands that we saw, each of us. But I think, Fletch, you probably covered a fair few kilometres over the weekend. But we'll get into that. But first off, let's talk about the band of the weekend for each of you. So let's start with Tony. Go on. You were there Saturday. Your band of the weekend Saturday.
Yeah. I went with Lead From Within for me. I think I was saying to Venny at the time, I don't really know what they were doing on third stage. Mm. It seems that every time they release an album, every time they play a gig, I mean, it's the best thing they've done. But they don't seem to progress any higher up sort of on festivals, which I think is a big shame. And it must be frustrating for them because, yeah, they were just, I think they were pretty phenomenal in that tent.
That wasn't even the third stage. Sorry, it was the fourth stage.
Yeah, even worse then. But yeah, they got a great reception as well. I mean, it was packed out in there. I think they've got a real power that sort of the best metal bands have. Whether it's sort of like Gojira or even the massive bands like Metallica, there's a certain power that these sort of bands have that you can't quite get a grasp on how they sort of generate it. But you can just feel it from their songs. I really think they've got that. And I just hope they're given a chance on second or even main stage, because I think they'd really, really crush it.
I mean, when you think about Malevolence playing second stage, in terms of they've both just released albums, they're both UK bands. Following, I don't know, maybe the same sort of fans, in terms of numbers. It's criminal they weren't on the second stage, really. You wouldn't begrudge them that. I don't know what everyone else thoughts on that.
Go ahead, Fletch.
No, I was just saying, we were in the tent, weren't we, for that one, but I heard some people saying, obviously, if you weren't in there early, it wasn't easy to get in, which is to be expected, really, on that stage. But.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. We talked about it at the time, Tony, but yeah, I think they've easily now got the back catalogue to be playing and the momentum, should I say, that to be playing at least a second stage, but maybe even an early slot on that on the main stage. And yeah, just going back to what you say, they have a great sound that they're really able to reproduce live. I've seen them countless times and they always sound really on point. I've never heard them with a dodgy sound, and they've got that real power, that real groove to them. I mean, I've talked about them in the past having that Lamb of God groove, and I think it just carries really well live. So yeah, I 100% back that, Tony. I think it was great. And I had a little foray into the mosh pit for it as well, and it was pretty lively up the front, I can report.
Benny, your band of the weekend then?
I've got a stand brand, but it was a great moment for me. I missed essentially all of Friday just because of work, so I got there pretty late. So really one of the main first bands I saw, having been away for 3 years, sun's out, but Malevolence were just fantastic. Again, we've talked about them ad nauseum, so probably don't need to go into it, but I just think they're now armed to the teeth with the set list, and they have that stage presence. When Alex cracked those two flares on the front of the stage, it was just epic. I just thought it was really good. And even a rare appearance in the mosh pit from an old timer was a pleasure to see.
Got stuck in, didn't I? Spent the majority of my time just looking behind me for flaming legs to the back of the head on crowd surface. But I think all four of us speak really highly of the new Malevolence album. Am I right in saying that? I don't think anyone was sort of like in between about it. We all really loved it. How did Tony, I'll ask you first, Fletch, how did you think the new songs worked on stage?
Yeah, I didn't think they had any issues like translating them live, especially on Broken Glass was a standout one, wasn't it? Got a bit of a sing along going. It was really good.
Absolute magic. Tony, where were you positioned for Malev?
Unfortunately, I missed them.
Oh man.
What? Mm-hmm. Oh my God! Why?
We were a bit late getting in, but I thought we were going to make it, and then we had such issues getting our tickets up with the internet, and it took God knows how long before we could get in, and then it was literally just as they were finishing, I was sort of stepping over the hill, so yeah, bit gutted, but man. I've heard nothing but good things, so yeah,
they were one of my... I feel so sorry for you.
I know, they were one of my highlights as well. Would have been one of my highlights of the weekend, I think, but never mind.
I mean, it was really great. Like you said, Fanny, the sun was out, the pit was stinking, but everyone, like, just singing the words back to the lads, and like you said, when he cracked the two flares, it was like... in like the football factory watching a Millwall game, you know, and cracking them and getting everyone antagonized. It was so good.
It was so good. It reminds me, Joey, of, do you remember that photo a few years ago from Download of Rollo Tomassi? And it was Ava at the front of the stage, and there was a guy in the crowd on someone's shoulders.
Yeah.
And it was just a great photo. There's a similarly great photo from behind the stage from Malevolence of Alex with the two flares held aloft. And it just looks, it's just, when I see that photo, I'm like, yeah, man, that was amazing.
But quick, funny story of the Malevolence mosh pit. There was a girl in there, obviously the Malevolence mosh pit was absolutely brutal, but this girl in there, she was getting, you know, a fair bit of her thrown around. And I said, are you okay? And she was like, this is my first ever mosh pit. And I was like, well, why the hell would you get a Malevolence mosh pit for your first ever one? And then I think just before they played the last song, I can't remember now. Benny, top of your head, the last song they played.
Keep Your Distance, was it?
Yeah, or... I think something like that.
I can't remember.
She was like, can you get me out, please? Can you get me out? And so just had to like crowd surf over the barrier. But yeah, that was, I mean, talk about Baptism of Fire going into the Malevolence mosh pit for your first one.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, it was a barrage of crowd surfers coming. I don't know where there was more, actually. Bleed From Within, to be fair, had and they always do a load of crowd surfers. But yeah, it was you had to be on constant alert at the front there, just to be getting a boot to the head.
Yeah. Okay, malevolence for Venny. Fletch, band of the weekend.
Well, it's no surprise. It's the Irons. Yeah, I mean, it's because it's my first ever time seeing them, and it didn't disappoint. I mean, I know some people have said it was the start was a bit flat with the three songs from the new album, but I cheated and I looked at the set list, so I knew it was coming. And that, other than the first one, I wasn't that fussed about them opening with the title track, but Stratego and Writing on the Wall are bangers, and I was happy for them to be in there. So, and it was quite all right actually. They got them out the way early, changed the backdrop, and everyone was like, right, now we came back on with Revelations, and then it was just go from there.
Before we, because Venny and I definitely have gripes about the opening of Maiden, and Tony, I don't know what your thoughts are, but we'll come back to that in a second. But Fletch, your first time seeing Iron Maiden, I mean, I don't know how many times we've seen them now, but when Doctor came on, like, what was your feeling? Like, I want to know what you were feeling at that point.
Oh, it's quite hard to describe, because that was the whole reason. Obviously, there was loads of good bands on, but the reason I was there was because maybe my headline, and it was my chance to see them. So, I don't know, it was just, especially because it was my first festival for quite a long time as well, so it was a lot going on at once, so it was a little bit overwhelming, but it was really, really good. I kept it together.
I mean, I'm seeing Maiden again this weekend in Oslo, and I say every time, like, you know, how many times I've seen Maiden, I still get the same feeling when Doctor comes on, you know, and the goosebump, because you just know, you know, if you take out Number of the Beast and Fear of the Dark that they're going to play, you know they're going to throw in a surprise for it at some point. And I'm not going to spoil too much because I'm going to talk about it in a bit, but just Maiden do things to me that very few bands can do. That being said, coming back to Tony, you were there for Maiden, were you?
Yeah. It's all amazing. Okay.
So just coming back to the set list, right? I remember Venny, your face when they opened with Senjutsu was disgusting. And I think, I can't remember the words you used exactly, but it wasn't high praise. It's a very poor Maiden song to kick off with, isn't it?
Yeah, the problem is, it just, after that build-up, you want them to come out of the traps. And if they'd started with Writings on the Wall, which I think is a great track, I wouldn't have had the beef. But it just was such a slow start. And, I mean, you might have got a hint from beforehand, but I was just slightly blasé about seeing them again. And when they started like that, it kind of compounded those feelings a little bit for me. But then I guess we'll talk about what happened after that, completely changed things. But yeah, I just thought they could have just chosen that set list a little bit better in terms of starting with Writings on the Wall, at least for me.
Yeah.
But I agree with what Fletch says in terms of, in a way, getting those out of the way before going on to their kind of Legacy of the Beast set. But
I mean, Writing on the Wall. Sorry, go on, Fletch, go on.
No, I was just going to say that another point, like, it's not related to the set list, but I just want to, obviously, with them being a band of the weekend, I was really impressed with Bruce's vocals as well. His voice, he was on fire, I thought, especially after hearing Paul Stanley the night before. It was and he was okay, he was fine, but I mean, you could tell it wasn't what he once was, but compared to Bruce, it was a different level.
Got your little dig in there, didn't you, mate? You got it in there.
I like a bit of Kiss, but...
Tony, I don't know if we've discussed this before. Are you a Maiden fan?
I think we said on the last podcast, I've never been the biggest Maiden fan. I mean, I like the classics, but I've never got it like a lot of other people seem to. But that's all changed since Saturday night.
Did you love it?
I did love it. This is the very first time I've got the Maiden thing. And I think I've got that feeling that everyone else has. I agree with the opening. It opened with a couple of songs. I'm not a fan of Senjutsu at all. But yeah, after that, when they went into it was just classic after classic. And yeah, it was the very first time I think, yeah, I've really become a proper Maiden fan, and I've listened to them pretty much non-stop since seeing them.
Music and the Bruce thing as well.
A lot of people used to say with Bruce as well, like, oh, he still sounds like the best he's ever sounded. And I was always really skeptical of that, but he was on fire at Download. And yeah, I've really come around to Maiden. So yeah, I've got a lot to catch up on, I think.
Delighted. But
before you do yours, Joe, I just want to say, well, if it wasn't for Maiden, one of my bands of the weekend would have been Heriot. That Heriot set kicking off the Friday. I thought they were really good, and I've listened to that EP so much since I came back.
You might as well, we'll touch on it now then, seeing as you've brought it up, because it was just you and I there at that point, Fletch, wasn't it? That was the first time we met, and the tent was fairly jammed. There was a lot of anticipation about it, and I mean, I like the record. I'm not as fond of it as, like, I think you three probably are. But I will say about Debbie Live, Jesus Christ, she has got a set of pipes on her. And I mean, like, completely different to the record. Not completely different, but, you know, adding a live touch to it. And they absolutely destroyed that tent. They destroyed it. So, yeah, I mean, Friday, first slot on, one of the UK's bands coming out. Hats off to them. Really good set. Really good set. Okay, so my band of the weekend. I could have chosen Maiden. I could have, definitely. And I'll come back to Maiden at some point during this time. But for me, my favourite set of the weekend, and Venny's going to hate this, was Megadeth. Because Venny had a bit of a stumble and he got a bit tired, bless him, had a headache, so he missed Megadeth's set. But, like, I was dubious with how Dave would sound. He's been, I think, missing for quite a while now, obviously with pandemic and that. He still had his little gripes in between songs about why songs are made and, you know, I want to kill someone and they make me feel like this and that. But there's no denying that Megadeth's back catalogue is so bloody strong. And kicking off with Hangar 18, just for a laugh. They play stuff of Dystopia, but the best part for me was they threw in Dread and the Fugitive Mind. I've never seen it live before, and I couldn't believe my eyes when it came out. And obviously they did the classics. They did Trust. They didn't do A Toot and Long, I think. They did Trust. They did The Holy Wars, Symphony of Destruction, blah, blah. But I mean, I sung my heart out the whole time during that set. And just had the best time. And again, Venny, like you said, when the sun's out, you've had a few beers, you're with your mates, the crowd is feeling it. There's just no better place. So for me, it was Megadeth, my band of the weekend.
Yeah, I didn't catch the full set, but I did catch Sweat and Bullets, and it sounded ace.
Yeah. Tony, were you there? What did you miss then?
No, I'm a bit gutted that I didn't go see it. I watched... I think it was Deftones who were on instead.
Oh, okay.
Who were a bit disappointing. They were all right, but the sound really wasn't great from the off. I think most of the band were, I know Stephen wasn't playing guitar, and I think they had a different bass player as well. I think a couple of the members were missing for some reason. It didn't quite gel like I thought it would. They played a lot of the heavier stuff, kind of got lost in the mix, with a lot of power behind it. So yeah, they weren't great. I mean, they were right. They played a pretty good set list. I wish I'd gone to see Megadeth because I've heard a lot of good stuff about that set. But hey ho.
You're not the first person as well to talk about Deftones. I've heard a lot of people saying that. I think it was just, there's only two original members there, like Chino and someone else. I think Steph Carpenter is, he's unvaccinated or wasn't travelling or something along those lines. But that's disappointing for, like, Deftones fans who didn't get to see him. I mean, but you made your bed.
Yeah.
I had a bit of the aforementioned wobble at that point. I had to go back to the campsite for a bit. But I had this horrible thing of trying to see Mastodon, Deftones, Megadeth, all at once, and I probably did the worst of all worlds of seeing all of them a little bit, but none of them in their entirety. I mean, from my perspective, Deftones' set list was dead on. I thought they played all the songs that I wanted them to play, but and actually Mastodon, whilst we've criticized them before, I actually thought they sounded very good. And yeah, Megadeth, I missed the start of it, including Dreaded Future in mind. But yeah, when I got there for the end, it was great. So yeah, interesting out those. That was the big clash for me over the weekend, and interesting to hear how they all fared slightly differently.
We might come back to Mastodon unless someone talks about it in a minute, because it's, I think it's an important one to cover. But okay, so we're going to route back to Tony. Surprise of the weekend.
For me, it was Sepultura, who...
Ooh.
Yeah, I think on the last podcast, I was a bit dismissive of them. And they completely mugged me off, which is great. They were absolutely brilliant. It's just those songs, isn't it? You've got a festival in a tent. You've got Territory, Roots, Refuse Resist, all the classics. You can't deny it. And their drummer as well. I think his name's Eloy. He's an absolute monster behind the kit. And their set was brilliant. I'm glad they proved me wrong and made me look like an idiot, because they were amazing.
Was it a full tent?
Yeah, it was rammed, absolutely rammed.
Brilliant.
Especially when I started playing Roots as well, you could see like the crowd like trying to squeeze in on itself because people were trying to ram themselves in that tent. It was brilliant. I'm really glad I got to catch them. That was definitely my surprise of the weekend.
Did they play any new stuff?
There was a couple of songs I didn't recognise, which I imagine are newer stuff. It was mostly classics, which is what you want. Our set list. So yeah, they went down really well.
I mean, this goes back to what we talked about Mastodon on the preview show, was if you're playing a festival, just fill it with absolute classics. And I'm delighted Sepultura did that.
Yeah, I was really glad. I kind of forgot they were on. Then I sort of heard them kick off in the tent. I thought, oh, I'll sneak in here and have a look. And I was there. I was there for the duration of the set. It was brilliant.
Oh, I'm delighted. I think they might be playing the festival I'm going to this weekend, so I'll check them out then on the back of that recommendation. Yeah, Venny, surprise, Kill Surprise del weekend.
Yeah, often a download throws up an amazing surprise, something you just, a band you've not really heard of, who then become your favourite band. One that always sticks in my mind that you were there for was when we saw Igor that time in the tent, and it was just an unbelievable experience, and just, it's totally wild and unlike anything you'd seen. There wasn't a lot of that this weekend for me, and part of that was probably the lineup, part of it was because I missed a third of it. But one surprise, not necessarily a surprise, but a band that I heard there and ever since have been really intrigued by and playing more and more on record is Static Dress. And I know Fletch Court was down there early. They're on like first thing on Sunday morning at about 11 o'clock. And I was kind of sat up at the campsite and I just had an inkling they were on, and I was just sat kind of doing nothing essentially. And I just thought, oh, do you know what? I'm going to go down there. I'm just going to quickly run down on my own. And I walked down there and saw them. And yeah, I really loved their energy. I thought the drummer just hit those drums. I know it's a bit of an odd thing to say, but he hit those drums so hard. And Fletch mentioned it by message. It's something I kind of blanked out my memory, but the guitarist had a whole Wes Borland thing going on, which I'm not sure was a download special or whether they always do that. But yeah, it struck me as a little bit odd. But yeah, since then, I've gone back to their last record and been playing it nonstop. And in this fine weather, it sounds mighty good.
I've never checked them out, but I'll ask you, Venny, will I like them?
50-50,
Okay, no, all right. That's, you're like my canary down the mine. Okay, cool. Fletch, surprise of the weekend.
Sunday afternoon in the sun, it was Powerwolf on the main stage. Bit of power metal, not something I generally go for, but I think most of the people I was with wanted to go see them. I thought that record was pretty good, considering it's not really my type of thing. And I just went, and it was just so much fun. The front man is just, he's getting everyone involved. He looked like he was having fun, and it made you want to, you know, join in. And the songs were good. They were my surprise of the weekend. I thought they were excellent. I'm definitely going to go back and check out more of their stuff.
Delighted to hear that. But
that doesn't mean you can send me every power metal album.
It 100% does. They were on about 12 o'clock, were they? Something like that?
Yeah, 12:15 or something like that.
Well, yeah, early enough. Yeah. I think we were still like, well, I was certainly feeling sorry for myself at that point and couldn't get up and go see him. But I'm delighted because I've seen them at some festival in Europe before, and they always get a good reception. Like, you know, they're power metal, they dress as werewolves, and you might think it's cheesy, but I'm delighted you had a good time with them anyway. My surprise of the weekend for me was Tremonti. I'm not into that sort of Alter Bridge, Miles Kennedy sort of rock, or whatever you want to call it, genre, but Venny was plugging that new album to me from Tremonti, and the first song, to be fair, is absolutely, it's a real ripper. It's heavy as a mofo. And it transcribes to stage so well. I think at one point, Venny, we were talking about, or you might have just said to me and said about, you know, him having good musicians around him would be a massive prerequisite. And he absolutely does. The drummer, I could not take my eyes off. I don't know what his background is, but he's got some really good sort of like a technique and style on him. I just couldn't take my eyes off him. And I just had a really nice time. I wasn't expecting it. I think it was probably about half an hour set, maybe, if that. But just a lovely time. Everyone was loving it. And again, the sun was out. What more could you want? So mine was Tremonti.
The only question I had with Tremonti was, if Miles Kennedy's doing two sets and Tremonti's playing, why no Alter Bridge set? I mean, I'm not a big fan, but I was just curious.
Yeah, it is a weird one, isn't it?
It was made for a secret set at some point in the weekend, wasn't it? You could have put two and two together and got a secret set somewhere, but not that I heard.
Maybe they're going to be lined up for a headliner next year. Tony shaking his head.
No, to be fair, I love Alter Bridge, but I can't see them being a headliner at Download. I don't know this. They don't have the sort of charisma to be a headliner. I think there's something missing. I think it might be a big single as well. They don't have that massive breakout song either, I don't think, that would really push them to headliner status. But I love Alter Bridge. And Tremonti, for that matter, he's got a real metal cred, I think, behind him. He sort of grew up on Celtic Frost and Slayer and all those sort of bands. So, yeah, he's good.
Yeah, it was really, really good. And it's completely took me by surprise. A nice little pick-me-up on a Sunday, Sunday afternoon. Okay, best moment of the weekend, Tony?
I went with Maiden going into Fear of the Dark. Simply because it's always been my favourite Maiden song, even before my sort of revelationary moment of Saturday watching them. Just when those first sort of notes going into that song, it was kind of a bit magical for me just hearing that. I don't have too much more to say about it other than it was just one of those moments, the way you think, yeah, I'm a fan of this.
Do you know one thing about their set list with that was they played it early enough in the set and they didn't do the usual, like, leave it later to play Iron Maiden, Number of the Beast. They actually brought it forward a bit, which was quite nice to, like, mix it up a bit. But, I mean, Fear of the Dark, like you said, Tony, like when the sun's going down and those first few notes ring out and everyone is singing, there's just no other place you'd rather be.
No. I think from there as well, I think they went into Hallowed by that Be Thy Name next. And I think from there, yeah, it was just all out war, wasn't it? This is so yeah, it was kind of the moment where it all got pretty special. So yeah, that was a moment for me. We were in the perfect spot as well. It was me and my other half. We were sort of sitting just on the hill. We kind of had the perfect sort of line of sight. Yeah, it all kind of came together. So yeah.
I mean, it's the kind of thing Maiden would do, but it was kind of meteorologically planned in that, like, just as the light was changing to darkness, that then those fateful notes rang out. Like, it was so perfectly timed that it just seemed to get dark instantly as soon as they played that. It was like, it was incredible. I'm not sure I've seen them do that with that kind of accuracy before.
It'd be very good timing for Maiden if they got that nailed on. But yeah, I probably say that's not the last time we're going to hear about Maiden in this conversation at the moment. Venny, best moment of the weekend for you?
Yeah, it's something I thought you were going to mention, actually, when you talked about your surprise of the weekend. My moment of the weekend also goes back to the Tremonti set. And again, Sunny... you know, lovely. They're probably the first proper band we saw on that Sunday after a heavy few days before, you know, and all the guys were there, beers were flowing, great set, perfect thing that you need for Sunday. But the magical thing for me, and we know at the time, was there's a little lad, I don't know how old you'd say, maybe 8 or something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
7 or 8 on his dad's shoulders, singing along to every word of Tremonti, the whole set. And on the penultimate track, Mark Tremonti stopped everything and was just like, this song goes out to that little fella on his dad's shoulders. And he was just beside himself. And it was so nice. And then they played the last track. And then, as is customary with rock stars, the drumsticks get hurled into the crowd. And the biggest bruisers that you've seen going tussling for these drumsticks, covered in tattoos, beards, piercings, fighting each other off of these drumsticks. But as soon as they get them, they walk up to this little 6-year-old lad and give him the drumsticks. And I just thought, that is what Downloads, our community, is all about. And do you know what? That kid, he's going to love metal for all his life. Like, that's it set. I just thought that was amazing.
Oh, I, at that point, was crying. I was like you, Venny, I remember seeing the stick go in and I was like, someone called it. And I was just like, please give it to the little lad. And you just saw him run across, give it to the boy. And I was just like, this is incredible. And like Venny said, this is what it's all about. And I didn't bring it up, Venny, but it was a really special moment. Fletch?
For me, it was the sing-along to Misery, which was the last set of Creeper, the last song of Creeper set
on
Saturday evening, which was really good. I wasn't sure who I was going to go see, but and I do like that band, and I've never got to see them either. So, especially because I saw... because the frontman Will, he's in two bands and they played two sets. He played a set with each of them on the Saturday on the Avalanche stage. Wow. So he fronted Salem earlier on in the day, who I also caught. And they could have been one of my surprises of the weekend, actually, because I'd heard their EP when it came out and I thought it was pretty good. And then when I went to see them, they were on fire. So I think that really swung it, where I was like, oh, seeing his energy on stage, I was like, oh, I'm going to go back for Creeper. And the sound wasn't as good for Creeper as it was for Salem earlier in the day. I'm not sure what happened with that, but they were really good. And Misery is like, it's the big sing along, and to finish on that and have the whole tent sing along was special.
Tony, you're nodding your heads. Are you a Creeper fan?
Yeah, sort of vaguely. I think Misery is their first EP, isn't it, or one of their first EPs.
I think it was on one of the it was, and then they re-recorded it on the first album.
Yeah,
so but
yeah,
it was on the first EP.
Yeah, I definitely know that song, and yeah, they've got a few tunes I like. I'm not massive fan, but yeah, they're all right by me, Creeper.
I've not listened to them, and I don't. I probably never would, because it's not my taste. But I have to take my hat up and appreciate that they've created a sort of like a cult following, haven't they? Like,
yeah.
They, correct me if I'm wrong, I could be, but I read that they broke up. They did like an end show where they had a coffin and put Creeper to rest or something at a show in London, and then came back, and obviously everyone's loving them. I do appreciate bands who have that sort of thing about them, but I will say I do not like them. But that's just me.
I like them enough for both of us. It's fine.
Fair enough. Cool. My best moment of the weekend, right? We talked about it's been 3 years since Download, or since any sort of live music. And Download for me is sort of like 40% for the music, 60% hanging out with my mates and just, you know, mates from school and just hanging out and stuff. And the highlight for me was during Maiden set when they played the Clansman. And it's, I first remember us getting a Rockin' Rio venue, you'll remember that, and then having it on there, because it's one of those songs from the Blaze Bailey era which is sort of dismissed a lot, those two albums, you know, X Factor and Virtual 11 or X, whatever it is. But the Clansman live, it just came at that time where they had a really good set, you know, bar the first couple of songs, but they really just started building. Then the Clansman come on, and then I've got a great video of like us singing the chorus together, and just the absolute elation, and sort of, you know, that was the peak of Download for me. It was a Saturday night closing, and just being there with my mates singing along to Maiden was, for me, the best moment of the weekend. But also, talking of their set list, once they got rid of the Senjutsu stuff and went into Revelations, Blood Brothers, and Sign of the Cross as a three, was just absolutely magic. I don't know how you guys thought about that.
I was made up with Blood Brothers because Brave New World's one of my, probably my, in my top three Maiden albums. It's the back patch on my jacket, and so I was glad to hear at least one song from that. So Blood Brothers was a good contender for it.
Yeah. I think they cut Wicker Man from their set. Because, Benny, when we saw him in London, I think they played Wicker Man on that Legacy of the Beast, did they?
I can't remember. I can't remember them playing Blood Brothers when we saw them in the O2.
Well, maybe I'm completely wrong.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was a treat. Like you say, that pivotal kind of turn in the set list for me, Revelations, Blood Brothers, I just thought, when the backdrop to Revelations came on, yeah. So I recognised it from London, I was just like, here we go, like, absolutely love that track.
And Sign of the Cross, like we were talking about Sign of the Cross, Fanny, like, we obviously saw it on that tour. It's a very, very deep cut that, I mean, unless you're a fan of the X Factor or love Rock and Rio, you wouldn't really heard it. But for me, that's like one of my favourite Maiden songs of all time. So delighted I got to hear that. So yeah, Maiden, beat that. Anyone else? Any other bands? I'll quickly throw one band that really, really, really enjoyed was Electric Wizard on the Friday night. Holy bejesus. Thicker than sludge, those riffs. And talk about like translating an album to live all day, no problem at all. Like, give me live Electric Wizard. I came back and I excuse me, put on a few Wizard albums, and it just doesn't, for me, you know, you don't get the same feeling. But Electric Wizard, absolutely phenomenal. The amount of doobs being lit up in there, it was like being in a fucking coffee shop in Amsterdam, just the wafts of joints coming across. But it was really good, like Friday night, because I think it was Kiss were playing at the same time. So yeah, went in Electric Wizards, and I think converted a few of the boys as well. We went with Danny onto them.
Yeah, so absolutely.
that was one of my other standout bands. Tony, anyone else that sort of jumped out for you?
I think I saw Holding Absence, who I wasn't planning on seeing. I think I discussed it with one of you boys when I was there. Their latest album, I sort of listened to it a bit when it came out, and I was kind of into it, and then I kind of just dropped it. And then I went back to it just before Download, and it was kind of something where I probably won't bother with this again. And then I ended up seeing them just by chance. They came on after Loathe, I think, who I saw a couple of songs off, who were good, but can't really give them a proper review, but they were good from what I heard. But yeah, live, Holding Absence were really good. And it all hinges on the singer. He's got a phenomenal voice, that guy who sings. I know it might not be everyone's cup of tea, especially people who listen to this podcast. It might be a bit lightweight for them. but yeah, that guy, he's a star. And I reckon, they'll go far with him in the ranks. But yeah, they were a bit of a surprise. They could have been on my surprise of the weekend as well.
Did anyone see Sleep Token?
No.
Okay, good. Moving on. No, I didn't mean like that. I was just wondering if anyone saw them and sort of, like you were saying there, Tony, seeing a band live can sort of change your mind whether that happened. But
yeah,
we don't need to worry about that.
No. Well, apart from them, I did sneak off during Deftones when I got a bit bored. Dying Fetus into Napalm Death. Can't go wrong, can you, really? Straight-up violence for a couple of hours, an hour and a half. Yeah, they were both brilliant. Got a really good reception as well. Tent was packed. So, yeah. And then into Sepultura as well, thinking about it. So, yeah, that's a good time, isn't it?
Yeah, that fourth stage on Saturday was silly. It was a shame that Venom Prison pulled out. Did someone else pull out? It was Obituary, wasn't it? A while back, but like, to be fair, for the heavy music scene, like that fourth stage on the Saturday was a great representation of all things that we as a collective group here really like. I mean, Dying Fetus and Napalm Death, you pay good money to see that show in real life, so to get it a Download, you can't really argue.
No.
Anyone else, Fletch, anything else that jumped out at you?
Yeah, I had a few surprise ones, which were really good. Shouldn't have been a surprise because everyone talks about how good they are live, but I'd never saw them before. Was that Red Fang?
Oh, yeah.
That was a great set.
Brilliant.
I think they were Friday night. They were really good. Death Blooms, early on, I think they were second on the the fourth stage on the Saturday. They were really good. They got a few pits going, a big, massive pit, considering the size of that tent. That was really good. And then another band that could have been my surprise of the weekend was The Descendants on the Sunday.
Right.
I think they formed, was it late 70s, punk band. Really, really good. Really enjoyed them. So I'm definitely going to go back and check out more of their stuff. But there were some of the surprises that stood out to me.
And I forgot to mention earlier, Fletch, we had the pleasure of meeting your dad at Download.
Yeah,
he was in flying form when we met him. We had a beer together. How did he like it?
Yeah, he had a good time. I mean, Friday, Saturday, there wasn't that much that he was fussed about. It was all about Sunday main stage for him. He was his favorite band's Volbeat, so we were down the front for them. They were fun. They were sounded great. That was a really good time. Rise Against just before them, they were good too. And then Korn were on flying form as well afterwards. I think one of them bands that I was like, oh, I'll watch Korn. But like, I think I just take them for granted. But they came out and sounded great, just playing banger after banger, and it was just they were a great time.
Fair play to your dad as well doing that camping, because I couldn't be doing that. I'm delighted you had a good time though. Like, that's what it's about, isn't it? And like, yeah. I said before, like Download, you do have the music, but you also meet some really nice people there, and everyone's on flying form. I think I've ever come across a dickhead at Download, you know, who you sort of don't want to talk to. So fair play to that. Is he going back next year?
I'm not sure if I'm going back next year. I can't believe I can do an extra day camping, but
sound like me now. Venny, anything for you?
Just a couple of quick ones. I mean, it was very much telegraphed, but Spirit Box got the reception we thought they would. We've talked about packed tents, but that genuinely was kind of 20 people deep outside in that you couldn't even really peek in. I managed to kind of force my way in kind of midway through their set, and they sounded incredible. They filled that tent with sound. You could see the hyper glossy videos they kind of put on social media afterwards, but it was a really impressive set. And do you know, they're not going to be for everyone, but I think they will be for a lot of people, and that really showed it. And as I say, the sound was on point. And the last one I want to mention, again, a bit of a surprise, and again, a slightly derided band, but I thought Biffy Clyro were fantastic. Kind of rumours of their demise and a weak crowd were a little bit exaggerated in my eyes. Do you know, there were loads of people there. They sounded great, slightly edgier set list, I imagine, from them, fireworks. I mean, I had a great time. And one of the bands that I've been listening to a lot since I've come back is Biffy Clyro. So that's always a good reflection of a good time.
And they've just announced a tour with Architects Support as well. Yeah. I don't know if you've seen
pretty
that.
Pretty decent bill, yeah. I think they're playing Bournemouth.
And they're playing Dublin as well.
Yeah, yeah. I should think about it, mate.
I don't even justify it. Spirit Boss, just to touch on that, I was outside the tent speaking to Pete and Lisa Fletch, and I couldn't get every love or money, but they sound, even outside the tent, it sounded absolutely pristine, the sound. Full disclosure, we were talking about this on the group chat the other day about Spirit Box when we come back, and I did go back and listen to the album. It's not for me. I appreciate what they're doing, and Venny, like you said, it will do a lot of things for a lot of people, but just not for me. The other bands that you did touch on that I just want to talk about is Mastodon, because we talked about this and them being at festivals and their sound. I mean, it wasn't perfect, the sound, but by no means was it as bad as we've seen before. I also thought the set list was decent. They didn't come out and just play The Octopus Has No Friends or any of their deep cuts. They get a good mix of... Yeah, they threw in Tear Drink off the new album, Blood and Thunder. I can't remember what else they played. But it wasn't a set list. Did they play Curl of the Bow? Or one of the other ones? Sure. Maybe. But yeah, that was a really enjoyable set list as well for Mastodon. And looking forward to getting them or seeing them on tour soon off the back of that album, because Hush and Grim is actually a really, really good album.
It's a bloody good album.
I underappreciated when it came out. I really did. I think you three have been singing its praise, and I just didn't give it the attention it needs, but I hold my hands up. You know, when we're wrong, we're wrong. And the other ones, just quick shout outs, Dead Label from Ireland were really good. Started off some good metal. Will Haven, who we just caught the end of, I think, Venny, did we?
We saw most of that set, I think.
Did you boys see Will Haven?
It's when we caught up with the guys, yeah.
Yeah, I saw Will Haven.
Okay.
Yeah,
I did as well.
They sounded great.
Yeah.
Great. Really, yeah, really good band, aren't they? And then the other one for me just was Zach Wilde's Battle Name Society. Just, you know what you're going to get. It's just no frills, metal, and, well, except when he does a 4-hour guitar solo in the middle. But, yeah, great set from Zach Wilde and the boys. Did anyone... Well, last question for the group. Did anyone see the darkness?
Yeah. No. You saw the darkness. You were stood right next to me.
I know.
I was confused.
I was sort of teeing up the Fletch to be like, oh, I did. But he's too power metal for us now, for the darkness. Venny, what did you... We went because I can't remember who was playing at the time, but one of our mates said he wanted to go see him, and... as good mates do, we all went with him. What did you think of
that? I didn't recognise Justin Hawkins with his kind of 40-year-old lady's haircut, but yeah, it was really good. It was really good. I especially enjoyed the Christmas song being played in like blistering sun in the middle of summer. I quite enjoyed that, but
I didn't. I thought it was rubbish, but anyway, each their own. So next year, let's just wrap it up quickly. Headliners for next year, thoughts, go. Benny.
Ghost. We're doing a round robin, one each. I've got Ghost.
Yeah. Tony. Or Fletch gone.
No, I mean, I've heard rumors that Metallica might do a 2-dayer like they're doing this year in some of the state, in some of the US festivals. So if they've got two Metallica sets, then it's definitely the year to give it to Ghost, give a new band a chance. If they have 4 days and not a new headline, then that's a real shame and a real missed opportunity.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Tony, thoughts?
Oh, let's be honest, it's going to be a Def Leppard, Kiss, and like two Iron Maiden sets, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
No. I don't know. Really, it's got to be a new one. Surely, there's got to be a new one pulled through this year. If not, it's kind of getting a little bit sort of embarrassing. I think that they're going to keep booking the same bands. But yeah, surely that with this fourth day as well, it's they're going to pull someone through.
I'm going to say, sorry, go on, Tony, you finish up.
No, I was kind of at the end of my point, really. I'm just not sure who they will put. Ghost, as many said, I'm sure Ghost have primed the headline. But apart from them, Bring Me the Horizon, maybe?
I was going to say that. I was going to do we think Bring Me our headline festival ready? I think probably.
They are. They definitely are. I think that'd be fantastic.
I don't like them at all, but they're big enough. So
yeah, I think they'd be fantastic. I think they'd be really good.
It's 20 years since St. Anger, isn't it? Next year, let's have a St. Anger set.
Its entirety.
Yep.
St. Anger, its entirety. Jesus. Yeah, I think there was rumblings of like Muse maybe headlining one night. I don't know. I'd say the other band who's probably on the Parkway. If we're talking Bring Me, Parkway, maybe. They've got a new album coming out. Maybe too soon. I don't know. But
I think Rammstein are in the country at that kind of time as well. So, I mean, in terms of going over old grounds, they'd be on the... I mean, you're not going to have a bad time if Rammstein had them, to be absolutely fair.
No.
Well, they can put that stage show that they have now. They might have to do an AC/DC and have their own stage.
They might do. You're right, they might do.
Is there rumours as well of the Knotfest day? So it'll be Slipknot and...
Oh!
Yeah, I've heard sort of some rumblings about that. So that could be pretty cool.
Oh, please get Mudvayne. Yeah. Oh my God. Right, what was the hashtag?
Mushroomhead.
Why not Mudvayne? Headlining. Let's get Mudvayne. Or Mushroomhead.
Mushroomhead are on tour anyway. If you want to go see them, then...
we got an email entitled Mushroomhead on tour in the UK, and it was like not long after we got back, I was like, of all the emails I don't want to see in their mailbox, it's that one.
Benny, I'll put you down for a guest list, all right, to come on the show. It's down in Leeds, is that right?
Oh man.
Oh, but anyway, listen, I don't know about you guys. I had a great time. It was nice to meet you boys. I don't know why the hell we didn't get a photo together.
Oh,
stupid thing.
Classic.
But anyway, we'll 100% meet up. I'm sure at some gig before Download next year or another festival. Lads, thank you for your time. And we'll talk again soon. Probably 5 minutes after this on the group chat, no doubt. But until then, lads, thanks very much. We'll talk to you soon.
No problem. Thanks.
Bye.
Cheers, boys. Yeah.